This podcast is brought to you by the ILGA Oceania Rainbow Human Rights and Health Conference and PrideNZ.com.
Bulavinaka everyone, I'm Sulik Wanga from the Fiji Islands. I'm with the House of Chameleon, a transgender activist and feminist human rights defender in Fiji. I'm also the youngest board member of the ILGA Oceania, and it's a privilege to be It's wonderful to be here. Thanks to ILGA World for funding us to be able to participate at this regional conference. And we're looking forward to more engagement in the next few, well, the rest of the days, as well as getting to know more and contributing to some of the outcomes of this conference.
Can I say your stuff?
What? No, you have to introduce yourself first.
Well, kia ora, tēnā koutou, kēnā tō koutou, kēnā tō koutou katoa. I'm Talofa Lava, and I'm Roger from Samoa, Apia. And I'm also a board member of PSCN. First and foremost, I must acknowledge and give special thanks to ILGA World, the Rainbow Organization, and all the organizing organizations for having this conference happening and for getting us all the way from thousands of miles away over the seas to Aotearoa New Zealand to actually be here. And for us, it's real, a real great opportunity for us to actually be here and to get that exposure, and also to learn, as we learned, from what has been going on through these couple of days. I am currently the president of the Samoa Whawhawhine Association. This year marks our 10th year's anniversary since we first started back in 1996. And in 1996, when we first launched our organization, I just single-handedly went up and invited our Prime Minister to become our patron. So he has always been our patron for the last 10 years. So being the president for the 10th and 60 years is not very easy. And I've always trying to hopefully in our next AGM, I will step down, and because there are a lot of other potential whawhawhine out there who can, I'm sure they can do the job much better than me. And Imania, and like I said sometimes before, Imania is our technical advisor for our executive back home. So she has, I'm glad that she has shared some of the stuff that has been going on back home with our current work, especially with our the submission to the changes in legislation. That is a real milestone and a real achievement for us. And we do have a couple of difficulties that I face. That the real challenges back home is that we do have a four-year strategic plan that we eagerly get revised every 4 years, but it's not happening at all, simply because we the lack of funds and the opportunities for us to actually submit proposals to development partners. But we'll take it one step at a time. We'll take things easy. We'll do a Pacific way, because we don't want to rush everything all at once, and then we might get closed down in the very next year. So being here, for me personally, it's really... I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity to actually be here in Wellington and to actually attend all these sessions. Like Imania said, because of all this, I'm amazed with the diversity of sexuality that I actually get to experience, get to see. Because back home, when I've been born and raised in Samoa, I can only see it's either your whawhawhine or your whawhatama. So you're lesbian or whawhawhine. But in my line of work, I must say that I'm also in my own transition. I must tell you later, but I'm not transition like... I've always been a whawhawhine all my life. But my transition, meaning that I am to lobby with our government. Since we have just last week, so the 4th of March, that was our general election, and the same government has been... has won and been back to power. So my transition is that since there Because of our culture, our religion, and our patrons not really into the idea of sex marriage, that would be my transition. But this year when I go back, now he's back into power, they would lobby for that same-sex marriage to, for him to actually support it. And for who knows, maybe someone will actually fall into the idea of same-sex marriage, hopefully very soon. So that is my transition. But also, it's just a personal thing, personal matter, that at some moments, sometimes in life, we need to get our politicians a little bit more uncomfortable. I think that's the only way that they can actually do something for us, because at the moment, we can not only rely on our smooth writing, you know, at the moment, like we always say. And it's for me, too, that I always preach this. Don't fix it when it's not broken. Yes, I always say that because we kept on writing, you know, in Samoa, we were living in harmony. And I always say, go back where you're from, for those who are coming from, advocates for all this, the rights of LGBTI and all. And I'm also a strong person, some of these people go to hell, get back, go back where you're from. We are not, and this is why we're not being categorized with your medical terms and you put us into boxes. See, that was me. I reckon, because of all my beliefs that I have. But we cannot always sit back and relax and live in my harmony Samoa and, you know, let the world go around. I reckon that being here is actually an eye-opener. It really opens up my eyes, opens up my head, and I think it's also time to move on and actually lobby with our politicians, our leaders, that, hello, I reckon we shall follow what the UN is saying, what they are lobbying for us to do, which is one of the priorities, same-sex marriage. Because you know, no matter what happens, there are sexual diversity. So in its real definition, it's in Samoa, it's actually there. But it's just a matter of all these people not coming out. So I cannot always try to be the champion, but I would like that everybody is included, meaning inclusive for all the other in-closet poor boys that are identifying themselves as gay, but do not have someone else to belong to. I encourage them to come out and join me. So things are good things coming our way, but it's just a matter of us trying to lobby at the perfect time. You know, we always try to find that very moment when our politicians are in a good mood. But that's the way to do it. I think it's because it's always in our strategy for development of Samoa, which is our number one priority for development document. All these issues are not included. So I was happy because even without.
Thank you. You want to go on?
1 more minute, please. I was right up to the most important thing of my transition, remember? 1 more minute.
We have another session that we can talk on that. We have to give time for the others to do their introduce their issues. And they can ask questions.
You're most welcome to ask me any questions. I'll be here till Sunday, and I'm leaving at Romance 304 with a couple of the girls here. 6 of us in one room, can you imagine that? But one thing I would like to leave it with you is that, please, we would love to have our own Ilga Pacific. We would love to have our own Ilga Pacific. We'll be asked to have our own board members as well. Thank you, but we're trying to send another.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Elizabeth Taylor. Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Taylor. I'm from Papua New Guinea. I'm representing Couple Champion, which is the only organization that works with men with diverse sexuality and transgender people in the country. I advocate for the rights of LGBTI people in the country. So far, we've been doing lots of human rights work along the coastal areas of Papua New Guinea, and we've seen that there been some good outcome of it, but we had to walk towards the inland where there is lots of cultures and religious thing, and all those are still taboo of about same-sex relationships. So we're still working on it, and we are getting there. So it's been so privileged to be here and learn from other delegates in this house. I have learned lots in terms of all issues. I think one way or the other, all issues are related to each other. So once again, thanks to Hilga and the board for giving us scholarship. Without them, I think I won't be here. So once again, it's good that I also set some of my human rights issues already in other sessions, and I'm here to share with any one of you. If you want to learn more about what it's like in Papua New Guinea, please come forward and just interrupt me anyway. Thank you very much.
Bonjour tout le monde. I am from the Republic of Vanuatu. My name is Jill Baxter, but please call me Gigi. I'll be talking about, well, what I do back home in Vanuatu is mobilizing the youth of, MSMs, men who have sex with men, transgender, gay, and lesbians, a little bit of bisexuals, and, so what we do is do activities to mobilize them and to help them to in empowerment and also with economic empowerment. First of all, the group that we're in, that I lead in Vanuatu, is called Fee Pride. Fee Pride Foundation is a project under One Small Back, that is the biggest local NGO back home in Vanuatu. And because of the high rate of illiteracy in Vanuatu, a lot of young ones who do not go to education, we feel like engaging with the community is very hard, and it's quite a challenge because of the terminologies that we use up here in the technical level and the theory level is very hard to communicate and integrate with the grassroots. So we use TV shows like Laugh Patrol that is aired also here in New Zealand in Maori TV, and other theatre plays to get the message across to the community. And it creates a dialogue that makes them understand the issues of LGBT persons and even other issues related to health, of risk behaviours, sexual HIV and STIs. Also, with the session that I attended yesterday in the afternoon with Elizabeth Kerikeri, I really, really enjoy that because I believe that we are not whole or complete if we have some missing of our cultural identity. And it kind of like encouraged and empowered me to go back to my country and to further dig onto the past of my history to trace that identity that is missing. We have evidence in dialogue or the tangatanga, like the stories passed down from generation to generation about the existence of LGBT community. And in my country, there are LGBT warriors that exist back in the days. So those are very important things that I've learned so far in this conference in the last 2 days. Lastly, with the Fee Pride Foundation, we use peer education with the members. We train the members to build up a capacity to go out into the communities and to engage and to advocate the issues within the communities. In that way, we find that it helps build up the relationship and reduce the stigma and discrimination. Now, what Moamani has mentioned earlier, that we have a very strong cultural connection amongst others. And in Vanuatu, we have a lot of respect because of our cultural values. But with the Western influence, or in other words, colonization, it kind of... It kind of wiped out all that because of the different diversities that we have. So we feel that getting with peer education within the communities
will kind of indirectly sensitize the community to understand our issues. This is where we build up a relationship with the communities from the lower level, and we slowly climb up the stairs. So also, because we find that there's discrimination amongst the community itself, I will continue to speak of this because I want our other Pacific sisters and brothers to know that in our own country, the stigma and discrimination is in our own community. People who are successful, our graduates, they do not assist or help or support others who are on the grassroots level. How are they supposed to come to become themselves or empowered without the help or the support of the people up there? Therefore, there's a gap between within our own communities. And I feel that being in this conference as well will assist, will give me the knowledge or the capacity to engage with the people who are up there at that level to support the young ones. I think that's all. And if you have any questions, please do ask. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gigi. I'm just going to briefly talk about the situation of Fiji. At the moment, we are currently under a state of emergency following the devastation of Cyclone Winston that hit the country a few days back. And Fiji, we only go through a state of emergency in under two occasions. First, under military takeover, coup. Second is during a cyclone. So the cyclone was very devastating in terms of the destruction it had. In Fiji, it was recorded the strongest ever cyclone in the southern hemisphere. It is second as well to the strongest cyclone ever in the world. We had 42 deaths and 800 people still without shelter in evacuation centers. We have school children who's currently not attending school, but the fortunate thing that we are very grateful to the international donors and countries like New Zealand, Australia, France and the US and some others who have donated aid, food and funds to help with the recovery and the response after the cyclone Winston. In terms of the LGBT movement in Fiji, if you look at Jack talked about some of the progress that we had in Fiji in terms of LGBT protection in Fiji's constitution. In 1997, Fiji became the second country in the world, second to South Africa, to have explicitly sexual orientation in its constitution. In 2012, we had a review of Fiji's constitution, and part of the Fiji LGBT coalition made submission in terms of the extension of sexual orientation under the Bill of Rights to include gender identity and sexual gender expression. So currently we have the 2013 constitution, which is in effect, which has that extension. And I think it's also important when we talk about progress to look at the limitations of what the constitution has in terms of this constitutional protection on LGBT rights. One of the things that's limited under the Bill of Rights in terms of LGBT and social protection is, first of all, we are not allowed to get married. Second, you cannot inherit. Third, you cannot adopt. Recently, in late 2015, the Prime Minister of Fiji gave a very disturbing statement to the media, calling for all LGBT people in Fiji, if they want to get married, to go to catch the boat and fuck off to Iceland. It was very disturbing because one of the things that we also released as trans activists was the possibility of a backlash that the statement can have on the LGBT community, particularly for transgender women who are visible in our community. So we made a press release, we sent out a statement, and fortunately we had some assurance from the Fiji Police Commissioner, Brigadier Iwan Navalarua, in terms of making sure that if we feel unsafe in Fiji, we can always access the police force for protection. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is one of the things that's a priority issue for the Pacific Islands is climate change. We're part of the Pacific climate change and gender and sustainable development processes. We've been very active in the leading up to COP21 Urgent Action Hub towards Paris in terms of making sure that we don't want a 2.2 2 degrees Celsius for our survival. We cannot survive with 2 degrees Celsius. We're calling for 1.5 degrees Celsius, and we wanted to also make sure that women and LGBT people are part of the planning of adaptation and all of that.
Okay. Momo lava on tafata ala fatu pa ia mal malu le wa papa tu tsone tsaya ave momo le ala fa mal le fa le tsanga le tsama le lang awala no lo fa mo tsato uma ava tsa tsele mo le tsato usoma awi al malatso angalile malo tulo my name is Ken Moala. I just want to thank you all for accepting us into your hearts. I want to acknowledge especially the our brothers, the indigenous people of New Zealand, Aotearoa, for welcoming us, and especially yesterday with Elizabeth Kerikeri. We are all part of the Great Ocean, Moana Kiwa, and we all are all brothers and sisters in this struggle. I would like to also acknowledge the organizing committee, Marnie and Rewa and your team for excellent work done. We're so proud of you for completing this task in such a short time. It's just absolutely amazing. And for accepting us from the Pacific as part of your scholarship scheme. You have really looked after us, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you also to Ilga World for funding. And there's great purpose in looking after the more underdeveloped areas of the region, and especially people who cannot afford the resources or the finances to get here. Okay, just after that formality, there's just a few issues I'd like to address. And I'd like to thank Marnie for last night, the interfaith service that we were all at, and we had a little presentation from the Pacific. It brings to mind that religion, our belief system, our spirituality is a very important part of our society. And unfortunately, it's also the cause of a lot of harm that has come into being. But I like to say as LGBT people, especially in Pacific, it's a very strong part of our lives. And what we need to do is build bridges. We need to dialogue with them. And there needs to be a lot of healing that goes on. I am training at the moment to be a theological student. I'm also part of the Global Interfaith Network for LGBT. And it's an incredible work. But we're fighting for safe spaces for people of faith to worship in their own way, regardless of their religion, their denomination, whether you're a Buddhist, Muslim, no faith. The whole idea is that we can do that, and there's a beauty of it. We have one thing in common, that we are LGBTI, and it's so beautiful to be in the same room with all these people. So diverse, and that's what we're here today. We're so diverse, but we can have that commonality. And there has been previous pre-conferences for the Jin Soji, and I'd like to say that should be a part of the agenda for the next meeting, that we include Christianity and spirituality in our agenda to ensure that this is addressed, and how best we can approach the religious leaders, the traditional leaders of our society. And it was a good example last night when you saw the Deputy Mayor of Wellington, the various clergy from around Wellington, and it was good that we also had representation from this conference there. So I do believe that we need to do things mainstream. We can't be separated from society, and we must be seen to be part of the greater society. So that's one issue. Second issue is xenophobia is very rife in our own community. I think it's that we should take note that I haven't felt anything like that here except on Grindr, and a little note to a little note to my friend there, take note, Jack, that yeah, we can post human rights messages on Grindr, but we can also do xenophobia on Grindr. So it's important that we, you know, we get over the whole idea. Oh, it's 1 minute. Okay. Well, so that's the second issue. But my third issue, and it's my last issue, is about I am so touched to see all the young people here. But I also am very, very moved to see all the old people. And, you know, really, when you come to our age, you've got to, you know, you put us out to pasture. We've got a lot to still contribute, to mentor, and also the fact that is, what's going to happen when we're old and grey? Who's going to look after us? We were fortunate in our culture that we have our young people to look after us, hopefully. And so there should be sort of the address in our society, such as New Zealand, Australia, that we do care for our old LGBTI people. Really, there should be rest homes for our aged people. I actually work on the Gold Coast in aged care institutions for the LGBT. They are the ones that slip through the cracks that need to be addressed. So I've finished there. Thank you.
I know we're running out of time, but I'll give the rest of the time for Is Kelly. Just reminding you that I have a session at 1 o'clock, and we have another session, Pacific Sessions, after this, so you can hear more about us, and even our personal lives, too.
All right, thank you. I'll try and keep it very brief, Rawa. So, you must be listening to our issues and feeling sorry for us. And already thinking, how can we help the Pacific? You have many entry points in which New Zealand and Australia can help, so I'd like to share that with you. One of which is the Pacific Island Forum, which is based in Fiji. The forum is made up of all the prime ministers from the Pacific region, including Australia and New Zealand. So you can assist us by lobbying through your own leaders who can then bring up these issues at the forum. And this is one of the things that we wanted to raise yesterday with the parliamentarians that were here and also your human rights, but unfortunately we were not able to get a slot, but we rely on you to store this message, and whenever you have the chance to speak to your parliamentarians, you can share it with them. And one of which is, in the Pacific we have a lot of forum ministers meeting for economics, for the Ministry of Development, for education, but there's none on human rights. And I know that Louisa Wall and another person had submitted a proposal for setting up a mechanism in which the foreign countries can monitor the human rights situation in each country. And this unfortunately was declined. And we would like to encourage our friends and our brothers and sisters from New Zealand and Australia to always consult us also, because this can also facilitate the process of getting approval from our leaders when you have the Pacific people providing inputs and demanding for such things that are usually regarded as sensitive issues in the Pacific. And also in terms of the constitution in Fiji, as you can see in the handout that I gave out, there's still a lot of countries that decriminalize same sex, and there's no country that approves of marriage equality. And in Fiji, although we have our rights protected under the Bill of Rights in the constitution, there's lack of filtering of these supreme law into the subsidiary legislations. And we can learn a lot from the New Zealand experience and also from the Australian experience. And if you can share with us the pathway you took to reach that stage, we would also like to know about that, and also what are some of the implications that the supreme law or the constitution can have on subsidiary legislations. We would also like to hear about that, because like Sulik had mentioned yesterday, we have our rights protected in the Constitution, but then you have the court of law not allowing someone who has fully transitioned to change his or her sex on her passport. And also she had mentioned about the Prime Minister of Fiji saying discriminatory remarks. And this is totally against the constitution that he put in place. So this is one of the struggles we go through. The services also, there's not many services that tend to the needs of the LGBTQI community. So that's why not many of our community members access services. And also in terms of movement building in the Pacific, unfortunately, we are unable to access a lot of funds because in most of the countries, particularly in Fiji, we are unable. We cannot register as charitable trust because we were told that our objectives didn't meet the charitable trust objectives. So this also limits our work in the region. And you can learn more about this in the next session.
And with that note, ladies, gentlemen, and other genders, would like to end with a song to thank you all.
Now with all my soul.